Well, there's been a media brainwashing campaign that's going on for literally over a century now. And I can totally sympathize with where these evangelical Christians are coming from because I was raised believing that Israel's wonderful, the Jews are God's chosen people, we've got to support Israel, God's going to curse America if we pull back on supporting Israel. I actually grew up believing that. I remember being newly married, looking at the newspaper and kind of rooting for Israel in all the conflict with the Palestinians and everything. The brainwashing is so deep that even though I'd read the Bible so many times, I just didn't see it. And then one day when I was about 24 years old, it finally clicked with me. I saw, wait a minute, this isn't biblical at all. I'm just repeating things that I've heard.
Good evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. Unsurprisingly, this war in Gaza is creating bizarre alliances here in the United States. Pastor John Hagee is a right-wing televangelist who's hit every trope that spiritual Christians in American Christianity like to hit. He raised a boatload of money off of his fans by spiritually manipulating them. He's predicted the arrival of the end times incorrectly and then just moved on without missing a beat. And like so many Christian pastors in America, he somehow elevated this unquestioning support for Israel as some kind of a core element of the Christian faith. In fact, he claimed that God sent Hitler to perpetrate the Holocaust in order to punish Jews for not creating the state of Israel quickly enough. Last month, Hagee got invited to speak at a March for Israel rally in Washington, D.C. Now, it's actually pretty weird because this wasn't a right-wing rally. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was there. So was CNN's self-proclaimed communist Van Jones. And of course, rhino-leaning GOP Senator Joni Ernst. I mean, those are the political alliances that we get today. Radical left-wing senators and celebrities, rhinos and weirdo pastors all standing together to say that supporting Israel is the most important issue in American politics, ahead of the border, ahead of protecting the unborn, ahead of avoiding foreign calamities and quagmires and wars, ahead of the Constitution, ahead of everything. All sorts of insanity is getting unleashed these days. Another pastor, Greg Locke, claims to be Christian, but then waves Israeli flags during services, the flag of an explicitly non-Christian country. This Locke fella has even called for blowing up the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem.
Is evacuate up there on the hill and get a great big missile and blow that wicked Dome of the Rock plumb off of the spot where it's standing right now so we can get that third temple rebuilt. And us.
I mean, by the way, Christ himself said, nobody knows the day or the hour that he will return. So if anyone tells you that doing one thing will cause Christ's return, they're lying to you. Of course, we don't know when it'll happen. We don't know when it will happen, period. Now, look, we're not Muslims, obviously, nor do we like Islam. But people calling to blow up the Dome of the Rock aren't trying to bring about the coming of Christ. No, they're trying to bring about World War III. That's what this has become. Supporting this war on Gaza has become a way for lunatics to indulge their bloodlust entirely out of proportion to anything related to defeating Hamas. They just want war everywhere on the planet, without end and without purpose. Meanwhile, here in the United States, they're demanding the destruction of our basic rights for the purposes of protecting Israel from criticism. On Sunday morning, the Washington Post ran this headline, quote, "To fight anti-Semitism on campuses, we must restrict speech." I mean, ignore the headline. This isn't about fighting anti-Semitism. This is literally just about blocking criticism of Israel as a whole, because the regime has equated those two things when they aren't equal at all. Many of the vocal critics, the most vocal critics of Israel, are literally Jewish themselves. But they aren't just going to ban criticism of Israel, of course. No, while they're at it, we're going to just get blanket bans on hate speech. So soon it will simply be illegal to disagree with the regime on anything, because anything that we believe or want to say, whether it's on abortion or crime or immigration, will be considered hate. That's the trap that we're walking into right now when we let these hysterical, over-the-top backers of Israel get their way on everything. We are now setting the stage for the regime to turn around and suppress all of us. Pastor Stephen Anderson, who you saw at the beginning of this segment, is a pastor in Arizona, and he joins us now. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. And just to comment on what Greg Locke was saying about how we got to get that third temple built. It's so bizarre, because if you think about it, Christ in the Gospels predicted that that temple was going to be destroyed. God's judgment came upon Israel in the first century AD. God punished them for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He completely destroyed the nation of Israel. I mean, we know, of course, the Jewish-Roman War, which took place 66 to 73 AD, and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And then again, in 135 AD, the Romans wiped out the Jewish nation. Jesus predicted that over and over again in his parables, in his teachings, as a punishment for rejecting the Messiah. Why do they want to rebuild what God has destroyed? And they say, oh, we got to get that third temple built. And they think that somehow they're going to usher in the second coming of Christ by doing that. But really, building the third temple is all about bringing in the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist that's going to sit in that third temple and declare himself to be God. And you're absolutely right that, you know, blowing up that Dome of the Rock sounds like the beginning of World War III.
Yeah. I would consider that to be blasphemous. Would you?
Well, I think it's blasphemous to fly that flag in the house of God, because flying that flag with that star symbol on it, that is a wicked symbol. First of all, it is explicitly the symbol of a false Christ-rejecting religion, Judaism. I mean, while we're at it, why don't we fly a yin-yang or symbols of Islam or Buddhism in the house of God? You know, it's a Christian house of worship. Why would you fly a symbol of a religion that explicitly rejects Jesus as the Messiah? And the Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And that symbol of that star, it's not just the symbol of the nation of Israel. It's also the symbol of the religion, the Christ-rejecting religion of Judaism. Okay, so why would we fly that in a Christian church?
We're encouraged by Jesus Christ to be more Jesus-like every single day. This is what we do. We fall short of the glory of God every day, which is why we repent, which is why we hit our face, which is why we pray, which is why we humble ourselves before the Lord. All of these things, right? This is why we get baptized. This is why we seek out the Church of Christ. This is why we joyfully and with a loving and open heart accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are all of the very simple, by the way. Eternal salvation is very simple. They tell you exactly what to do. God, Jesus tells you exactly what to do. The Bible tells you exactly what you need to do. Greg Locke and John Hagee are not alone, which is confusing to me. And I'm really trying to understand, because I have been labeled one of the most dangerous anti-Semitic, you know, platforms on the face of planet Earth by the Rolling Stone and New York Times and all these other people, simply for asking questions. Why this unfettered support, this unquestionable, unwavering support for the nation state of Israel by John Hagee and by Greg Locke and by thousands of other so-called Christian pastors in this country? Why? I'm trying to understand.
Well, there's been a media brainwashing campaign that's going on for literally over a century now. And I can totally sympathize with where these evangelical Christians are coming from, because I was raised believing that Israel's wonderful, the Jews are God's chosen people, we've got to support Israel, God's going to curse America if we pull back on supporting Israel. I actually grew up believing that. I remember being newly married, looking at the newspaper and kind of rooting for Israel in all the conflict with the Palestinians and everything. The brainwashing is so deep that even though I'd read the Bible so many times, I just didn't see it. And then one day when I was about 24 years old, it finally clicked with me. I saw, wait a minute, this isn't biblical at all. I'm just repeating things that I've heard. And then I just start seeing on every page of the Bible that the Jews have rejected Christ. They're not God's chosen people. They're no longer the elect of God. But it all started back even in the late 1800s with the beginnings of Zionism. And then you have the Scofield Reference Bible, which is a study Bible that just became ubiquitous amongst Baptists and evangelicals. And it has all these notes promoting this idea. The Bible colleges have been pushing it. TV evangelists have been pushing it. Christian radio stations, obviously right-wing conservatives are constantly pushing these things. It's just people are brainwashed. And unfortunately, they're listening to more media than they are reading the Bible.
So the people like Locke and Hagee and the people like Brian Kilmeade or Steve Doocy or Harris Faulkner over on the Fox News channel or any of these Christian radio stations that you mentioned, all of the aforementioned, all of these people could potentially be victims of programming and brainwashing. The media is being intentionally used to spread this propaganda and to perpetuate this, but by whom? And to what do they to gain?
Greg Locke and John Hagee are not victims. They are the perpetrators of this evil. They are the ones pushing it and promoting it and twisting the minds of others. Obviously, the architects of this and the people that are just so rabidly pro-Israel, like the John Hagees and the Greg Locks, who go to such extremes, they're not victims of anything. They are just workers of Satan, period. Okay. But I'm just saying, your average evangelical pastor across America, your average Baptist pastor, is not just evil and wanting to support the Antichrist and just hail Satan over here. You know, I think Greg Locke and John Hagee are that satanic. But I'm saying they're not alone, like you said. I mean, millions of God-fearing, saved, born-again Christians have bought into this propaganda just because it runs so deep. TV, radio, Bible college, it's everywhere.
So who's at the top of that? Who's responsible for making the media do this? Who's paying them to do this? What level of infiltration?
I don't think anybody has to necessarily pay them, because Satan is controlling these people. I mean, the Bible calls the Jews the synagogue of Satan. It says they say they're Jews, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. And so ultimately, it's Satan. Obviously, you know, surprise, the Jews also own a lot of media and publishing companies. So yeah, obviously they can control those things if we want to look at it from an earthly perspective. But, you know, spiritually, the devil's behind it.
Yeah. So these people are in league with Satan. They're being used by Satan. Used is a very, very Absolutely. Important word, because we've been told that Satan will use people, as will God, as will Jesus, will use people, even people who are not saved. Jesus will use them. God will use people that have rebuked the gospel to spread the gospel. Nobody knows what his timing is. Nobody knows when he's coming back. If you look at BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, the Rothschilds, these people fund the majority of the media. Is there a serious Zionist infiltration and a danger to our country and to the world, looking at World War III, possible nuclear, you know, fallout? How dangerous is Zionism and how real is its infiltration?
Oh, absolutely. It's extremely dangerous. The infiltration is obvious. Once your eyes are open on this subject, you just can't stop seeing it everywhere. Ultimately, we do know that these things are coming. You know, we don't know, like you said, we don't know when, but World War III is coming, and it's going to be a bloodbath unlike anything the world's ever seen, because it's going to surpass what we saw in World War I and World War II. And it is for sure coming at some point. And I don't want to cheerlead for it or be rooting for it. I want peace. And you would think that Christians would be for peace, not for just blowing up anybody, you know, and just wanting to just bomb all the Muslims and everything. And you know, what's amazing to me is how hateful Christians are toward Muslims. And look, I'm totally against Islam. Islam is wicked. I mean, I can't say enough bad things about Islam, but so is Judaism. And, you know, but we don't hate the people that are deceived by Islam. We want to win them to Christ. We want to win Jews to Christ. But these people don't want to win Jews to Christ. They want to support them in their evil, Christ-rejecting religion. You know, the best thing we could do for Jews is to tell them that whosoever believeth in Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, you know, tell them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved.
As part of my desire to understand all of this, you know, I like to ask questions about the majority of people who have been programmed, right? I mean, because we're talking about my own family here. So just me personally, from my own perspective, I have family members who have told me, you need to be really careful about the things that you're saying about Israel on your show. These are God's chosen people. This is the, you know, this is the Holy Land that you're talking about. I mean, I have lost friends. I had some crazy guy that calls himself a pastor in my town where I live drive up to my house and berate me in front of my children and told me, don't ever tell anybody ever again that you are a Christian. This is a guy that calls, he stands behind a pulpit and he leads a flock of sheep, you know, blindly about this Israel. What are a few things that you would tell somebody like him, or to my family members who are cautioning me, or to the at-large programmed populace, to look into about whether or not the pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, secular nation state of Israel formed in the 1940s is the Israel of the Bible that Jesus is talking about.
You know, I would take them to the Bible itself and show them key scriptures like Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 4. You know, the Bible says, unto Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. Not seeds, plural, but seed, one seed, which is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. See, what your family's bringing up about, hey, you got to be careful about what you say about Israel, is that God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. And they're applying that to the nation of Israel. Whereas the Bible says that that promise was made to Abraham and to his seed, which is Christ, and that if we're in Christ, we're the seed. So really what that would be applicable in 2023 is that if you bless Christians, you'll be blessed by God. If you curse Christians, you'll be cursed by God, but not the state of Israel. So, you know, these people need to read the book of Galatians, pretty much the entire book, but especially chapters 3 and 4, just completely destroys this idea that this secular state of Israel are Jews, but they're hung up on their ethnicity or something, because you try to explain to them, it's a Christ-rejecting religion. And they'll say, well, yeah, but you know, that like they're descended from Abraham or something. First of all, how about the fact that they're white people? I mean, they have red hair, freckles, blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, what in the world? They're literally predominantly Europeans who have converted to Judaism because they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to have the Old Testament minus Jesus. They want to, you know, not have the Messiah. And so the Bible tells in the New Testament, avoid genealogy. So here's what I'd like to know. If God cares about our ethnicity, if God cares who is literally descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then why does he specifically tell us in the New Testament to avoid genealogies two different times? Because it doesn't matter whether we're red, yellow, black, and white. The only thing that matters is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so this idea that somehow that you know, their ethnicity makes them special, it's absurd. They've been mixing with Europeans and everybody else in the world for the last 2,000 years. We've all got a little bit of their blood in us because we've all mixed for thousands of years. And so the whole idea of, you know, an ethnic special people in the New Testament is just contrary to everything that the New Testament teaches.
Unfettered subordination to our fake government corporate crime syndicate, just compliance, along with unrelenting programming and gaslighting and brainwashing by a Zionist-funded media, is what produces the unquestionable, unwavering support for this nation-state of Israel. But where is your unquestioning allegiance and spiritual love and pouring in going to be? Is it going to be to the media and to this government, this murderous corporate crime syndicate? Is it going to be to some secular nation state, or is it going to be to the Bible and to the Word of God? That's a choice that you have to make. Couldn't have said it better. Pastor Stephen Anderson, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. Hope you'll come back soon.
Yeah, thank you. God bless.
God bless you. You need to protect yourself against government theft, the inevitable great financial reset. You wake up one day, your checking account, your savings account, it's all reset to zero. Get physical gold and silver. I buy my gold and silver from Gold Co. because I trust them, and they have treated everybody in the Stu Crew audience, all of the viewing audience, just very, very well. And I recommend Gold Co. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD. Criminal government theft, illegal criminal taxation, funding the forever wars, funding the bioweapons, unleashing attack. We're funding all of it. And when they don't have enough money, they're going to just come and take yours. It's inevitable. Protect yourself now. Call my friends at Gold Co. 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. We'll be right back. ArmsList.com is America's firearms marketplace. Unwavering in their belief of the right of the people to keep and bear arms, ArmsList.com has been fighting for our Second Amendment rights, battling the Brady campaign and their cronies since their initial assault in 2013, and ArmsList has emerged victorious. ArmsList.com is not only at the forefront of the fight for your rights, no, it's also your go-to platform to buy, sell, and trade firearms or ammo or optics and more, and do it all locally, or you can tap into their nationwide network of firearms dealers. So for a limited time, ArmsList is extending an exclusive discount to members of the Stu Crew. That's you. Head to armslist.com/Stu Peters. Use the coupon code Stu to get your first month of premium membership at, get this, 99 cents. 99 cents. Go to armslist.com/Stu Peters. Join the fight. Come get what they want to take right now at armslist.com/Stu Peters. If you're over 35 and like the typical American, you start to feel tired around noon. Your ability to focus just keeps getting worse as you get older. For energy, you've probably tried coffee or tea or even worse, one of those sugary, poisonous drinks that promises energy for hours, but they just don't work. Your focus never improves. ESS 60 is a molecule that Big Pharma doesn't want you to know about. And that's because Big Pharma's evil and they want to kill you. And also, they know how effective this is, and they can't make any money off of continuously slowly poisoning you to death. Historically, this is dramatically extending the lives of test subjects, and it's why I'm hooked. My Vital C is made with just two ingredients, olive oil and a powerful nano antioxidant, 125 times more powerful than vitamin C. That's ESS 60. It's also backed by a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyVitalC.com/stew. Again, that's MyVitalC.com/stew. Also, use the coupon code StuPeters at checkout for an additional 15% off your initial order. That's MyVitalC.com/stew. I really wish I didn't have to bring you this disgusting news, especially if you're a man over 45. Do you feel the sudden and urgent need to urinate several times during the day or night? Does it take you even 30 seconds before any piss comes out? According to a shocking discovery from scientists at Harvard and Stanford, there's a high chance that you're dealing with something they call a moldy prostate. Yeah, a moldy prostate. This means that your prostate is being coated in a special type of mold, completely different mold than what you see on your food, but extremely threatening nonetheless. Left untreated, it damages your prostate until it becomes nearly impossible to enjoy a steady stream when you go to the bathroom. Moreover, your ability to get an erection is severely affected. Flowforce Max is a completely natural, 100% effective way to destroy that fungus that's colonizing your urinary tract right now. It allows you to enjoy a powerful and steady flow every time you go to the bathroom, and it helps you get a more powerful, stronger, longer-lasting erection. This prostate-shrinking candy has already been tried by more than 35,000 men aged 45 to 75 with amazing results. It's time to put an end to all of your prostate problems. Go to flowforcemax.com/stew. Again, that's flowforcemax.com/stew.